Question number 17623. Henry Watson, reel 3.
Mr. Watson, reel 3. You were wanting to correct something from the last tape, Mr. Watson.
Yes, you asked me, did I go with the rest of the battalion to France from Jibby Norton? And I said that I'd been on leave and I got back late. But I remember now that I did go with the main body. But not with the transport. I just went with the rest of the boys. That's it.
And then, of course, you went to France, which we've gone through, and the last tape finished where you were basically on the French-Belgium border and the Germans were doing their initial invasion. Yeah. Do you recall any part of the experience of driving into Belgium?
Not really, no. Not really. Other than the people on the road that were trying to get out of Belgium into France. It was horrendous trying to get through them.
And they must have been quite unhappy scenes, no doubt.
Oh, they were, yes.
When you got into the place that you stopped to in Belgium, when you got as far as you were going, you weren't there very long. Do you have any memories of that?
I can't remember where we were. I don't think I ever really knew where we were. Chased it up on the map when I got back home, sort of style, but I can't tell you the name of any of the places up in Belgium at all.
Well, what happened was that the battalion and the troop carrying transport was taken away from them and they marched back out of Belgium. No doubt you wouldn't be affected by that.
No, but it was one place in Belgium in a generating station. We were stationed there and we had very little transport there. It had gone somewhere, I don't know where. But Captain Sell, as he was then, had found a French truck that had been shot up. The driver had been shot through the nut, and the windscreen had a bullet hole through it, and it had gone through the bonnet and through the top of the radiator, and the radiator was burst. And he asked us if I could do anything with it. Well, I had to solder a new top tank practically onto the radiator to get it to work. We got it done, and after that I was given that truck to drive. And shortly after that we moved, and I know I was more or less back to my old scheme again, fitter stroke, the last one there. And somehow or other I got lost. And I found a bunch of the Allies. Don't know what unit they belonged. But they were just walking, marching down the road. And I was driving this left-hand froggy truck. And pulled up and put them all aboard. And set away. What a bit of a hair-raising experience. So we ran into a little village that was being dive-bombed, the Stukas. And, we just hung on and went like the clappers and got through it till I met the first red cap, wondered where I'd come from. So he redirected us onto the road to follow through. And from there, we had dumped off the lads where they wanted, where as far as I was going. And the next thing I knew, I was being loaded up with the walking wounded from a hospital. It wasn't until then that I realized that the unit was getting out of it. And I filled a truck with wounded. And for the first mile or two, there was quite a bit of noise in the back, people standing on someone else and what have you. So they more or less got shuffled into place. And we went to a dump where all the vehicles were being dumped, and some of them were being fired. And Captain Seller was approached by a medical officer. He told him about that I had this truckload of wounded soldiers. He says, right, he would just take me in the truck and the wounded soldiers and everything. He says, no, he says, there's the truck, the soldiers are still in it, but he says, Watson stays with us. So that's when I got out of that. And that was at a farm. It was just on the Dunkirk side of the canal.
Were these wounded DLI men or other regiments?
Other regiments. They just cleared out a hospital, and those that couldn't walk just got left. And those that could or had enough friends to help them, they could get in. So I mean, it was like a 3-ton truck. My, it was just about 3 layers in it. It was horrendous, but they were glad to get out of it, and I was glad to get them out of it.
Do you remember being on Vimy Ridge at the time that the brigade put in that attack against the Germans?
On Vimy Ridge. I wasn't on Vimy Ridge. I was at Petit Vimy.
Which is below the ridge.
Aye.
And that would be where, presumably, Brigade Headquarters was for that.
That's
what
Brigade. That's where I was with. I was with Brigade Headquarters.
Do you remember the men coming back after the attack?
No.
So after the Vimy Ridge episode, of course, there was the gradual withdrawal all the way up through France and into Belgium, actually, parts of Belgium, and then on to Dunkirk.
Mm.
And that's the period of time you're talking about when you picked the wounded up.
Yes.
How did you get off the beaches, do you recall?
Stepped off off the pier onto a boat.
Were you split up then from the brigade or battalions?
No, we marched on.
Do you remember the scenes at that side of the channel?
Yes,
Dunkirk?
Quite well. We pulled in at night, and we marched it at night, and I think we got into a rather foul area of the next morning we realised where we were. It was not pleasant, and we're there all day, but you could see the boats, ships coming in across the channel, and the Germans bombing the ships, machine gunning, and whenever anything seemed to move on the beach at Le Pan, we weren't at Dunkirk, we're at Le Pan. When anything moved, to shoot a shot, somebody came along with a German came along with an airplane and had a bit do at us with a machine gun. And we thought that the rumour got around that there was one ship coming in and there was some bombs went down the funnel, blew the engine room out. And we were given to understand that that was the boat that was going to take us away. Because there was a queue all the way from Le Pan right to Dunkirk. So my pal and I, Sir O'Tully, were scratching around, and we found what was next. It wasn't exactly lost, but we came across a motorboat, and high and dry on the beach, and it looked quite new. So we thought, whatever, it looked down, see what there was to pick up. And we discovered that the engines would start, but it was no good trying to put it into gear, get the propellers to turn, because they were all wound up with leather strapping that the French artillery, French cavalry had pulled off their horses before they got out to come to England or around the block and come in lower down. And this propeller was all tangled up. Well, I used to always carry a sheath knife. Why, I don't know, but from the days of the Boy Scouts, I suppose. It was always sharp as well. And I got underneath this boat and I cut all the webbing off and started it up, put it into gear and spun it for a moment, you know, just to see that it wasn't throwing an eccentric. It was all right, so we drained the... who drained the oil out of the boat, out of the motors, and topped it up with, changed the oil and topped it up with petrol and what have you, got it all going, and then we started to dig a channel. And we're digging a channel to the sea side, hoping that when the tide came in that night for the next high tide, it would float off. So I went back to the unit, and Captain Sale said, "Where have you been?" So I told him. He says, "Is it runnable now?" I says, "Yes." I says, "I've had it going." I says, "It's ready for a little bit push if on high water." And I says, "It'll be on its way." Right. Well, he says, "Tonight there's the brigadier, the staff captain." Mentioned different officers. He says, and yourself, he says, we'll all take off for England in that boat. And we had a disagreement there because I said that I wasn't going without Tully. He was the lad who had helped us. Well, he says, he can come and all. So that was a whole load of the top brass out of the Brigade HQ, and ourselves were going out with it. As it happened, we got orders that night to shift for Dunkirk. So we're on our feet again, walking along there. The boat itself was made in Scotland, and it was, I think it was a 19-built in sometime 1940. So it had no age on it. It was practically brand new, but we had to leave it. And then he wondered who got it.
Was there many wounded and dead lying on the beaches? There been many casualties amongst those assembling?
Actually, I can only remember one dead man. He was covered with a greatcoat. And as one of our fellows had a greatcoat, and he'd had a little drop of sherbet as well. And He swapped this fella greatcoats. He had the greatcoat over the top of it, so he gave him a straight swap, so he got a better coat. Hard.
There would be a lot of vehicles and that lying in the dunes, were there, and equipment that would be left.
There's a lot of equipment and that left, yes. Actually, as I said, we stepped on board a boat, which it did. We walked right along and went along the jetty. I had to scramble over where there was a hole or two. The planks had been put across. And we got onto a French I don't know whether it was a destroyer, I don't think it was, but a naval craft of some sort. And I know I just sat down on the deck, and the next thing I knew, they were saying, "Go and get up. Here's... we're in England now."
You'd slept it.
I'd slept all the way through. Apparently, we had been stopped during the night by a British ship, asked where they were going. They said they were going further south to put in, further down south into France. And he said, "No, you're going to Dover." So we got our route changed and we went to Dover. but I don't remember a thing about that.
Did you feel defeated? Down?
Fell down a bit. We got chased out.
And were there any feelings expressed about the lack of RAF planes to defend your
regions? Oh, yes, yes, yes. That was the talk of the unit all the way through, you know. Just the Jerry's would come along and then create hell, and 10 minutes later the Spitfire would come strutting around saying, "Where are they? Where are they? We've gone home."
When you got to Dover, what kind of reception was there on the docks?
Well, we made very welcome, but cups of tea and what have you. We were about the last to get in. That the novelty had worn off about the lads coming back from France. That was left of the BAF. So that we just got onto the train and weren't long before we were on our way.
Where did you go?
That's what I'm trying to think. We did finish up in... you mentioned the name of the place before.
Rugeley.
We did finish up then on the plane, helping to put the tents up and then go and sleep in them.
Did you get any leave?
Yes, but not immediately. I think we were there about 10 days before I got away.
And as you say, you got away after 10 days, you went on leave. Mm. Were your parents obviously would be pleased to see you. Did they know whether you'd got back or not up till then?
They knew I was back. I sent a telegram.
And that must have been a great relief for them.
Well, my mother had died in the time I was away, so I suppose it just stirred everything up for the family that was left.
The civilian people that you met on leave in the area, did they seem at all perturbed at the state that the war had taken?
Well, I think they discussed all this previously with different ones, and we were the tail ends, and they talked it all out before. They weren't quite bothered about it one way or another.
When you returned to Rugeley, what happened to you then?
It's when I missed the train at Newcastle. So I was told by the Red Caps that I might as well go home, but there was no chance at all of getting to Rugeley by train on a Sunday. So I thought, well, give it a try anyway, I'll get so far down. So I went on this train that went through Rugeley station, jumped off, and when I got there, there was no one there. The unit had all pulled the hook the day before. So I happened to meet up with some of the 6th Battalion fellas that were on the rear guard and asked them where the 9th was. They told us that they'd gone. So they said, well, we're all going down to South Coast. You might as well come on with us. So I just hopped on the train with them and went to sleep until we got to... So we just carried on, and the whole lot of us got off at on the south coast somewhere. They're different places. They just bailed out, and I think my destination was Bridport. And there was some of our vehicles at the station, so I got a lift up to, I think it was Holcombe Rogus, where the HQ company was stationed.
What date would this be?
Well, we got out of France, I think it was about the last day in June, or the first day in June or something like that. I know we're just about a rear guard action, the Durham's fort. And it's a week on leave. And it was a week before I went on leave. So that's the middle towards the back end of June.
What condition was the brigade, as far as you could see, in when you got back? You'd left everything in France, basically, hadn't you?
Yes.
What was the situation with regard to transport and equipment?
transport we had none. Equipment, there was the only thing that were brought back was the one or two of us brought were rifles back. I still had mine, but that was about all. So there was some stuff coming in from Lease Land, American stuff, Lewis machine guns and Ross rifles. But a lot of the stuff, well, all the stuff that came to Brigade, it was all for the Home Guard. We were still left with nothing. So the Home Guard got it. We got one or two trucks and from some place, I don't know where, but there were civilian trucks, impressed vehicles coming in now and again, here and there. And some of the units, some of the lads, the MT boys in HQ company, they were going up to a film studio and they were bringing the plaster cast dummies of head and shoulders, respirator, gas cape and a steel helmet. And they were put at intervals along the coast, just the head and shoulders, just to fool anybody that was going in. Try.
Were there any other innovations that you can recall? Any other attempts to use or to make up for the deficiencies?
No.
Well, then requisition
trucks. That was left more or less to the company boys to look after that. We were HQ way back out of the road.
And your task again would be looking after whatever transport you had?
Yes.
When it came.
I know I had a 350 BSA Empire Star, a new one, that I earmarked for Captain Sale because he was the MTO then. And I don't think he ever rode the bike. Just two or three days later, there was a load of 500s came in. And there was one was a brand new aerial Red Hunter. So the gentleman thought that that would suit him a treat. So I got wrong off him for riding it up the main road at over 100 with no helmet on or anything.
Was this the occasion where there was an instruction to the officers to learn to ride motorbikes?
No, I know nothing about that.
The only
motorbikes that I really had to work on, other than what were impressed, was the Royal Corvsigs had a company with us, and they were going in for a, not exactly a rally, but, stop it a minute, I think the CMPs were having this deal with on motorbikes, you know, a rough riding course, right round in a certain area, I don't know, and asked me if I could have a look at the bikes. So I put a little pinch of salt on them here and there, and I think they came out top. I think they won. That was really my first working on motorcycles.
There would be new men, new officers and men coming through because of the losses that you'd had. Were any reaching you at brigade headquarters? New men coming in from other regiments and so on because of the losses that you had. Did any reach you at headquarters?
No.
From the other regiments?
We already had quite a lot of Scotch boys in Brigade HQ that had been taken from the units earlier on. Apparently, when they got their heads together and talked this out, if you were a naughty boy in the unit, you were threatened that they were going to send you to Brigade HQ, and that was the last place in the world to get sent to. Now, for those of us that were at Brigade HQ, if we got caught being naughty, they threatened to send us to the units, and that was worse, fate worse than death. So they played one against the other, and what's the way they got away with that?
Did you lose any men going back into industry and the mines because they were key men who were called back?
There was one or two, but not personally. I didn't know them personally, but there was one or two went back. I think one went back to the shipyards, and his name I can't recall. But we didn't lose very many there.
Did the brigade commander change during this period in time?
Oh, there was often changes going over and up in the higher echelon, the different wards coming and going, but I was just a private soldier and I didn't get involved with those people.
You were on the beaches, obviously, for defence, although you were pretty well down on equipment and so forth. Was there any, or were there any invasion scares during the time you were there that you were called, you were prepared for?
Yes, there were some invasion scares, but there plenty of rumours that Jerry had tried and got shot up, and just the usual propaganda.
Do you recall having stand to over a number of days because of such fears or rumours?
Just once, all leave was cancelled. You just had to be ready for a, I don't know about an hour's notice to move or something like that.
Any other memories of being down in Devon? What was happening to you? Were there any, was there a great deal of enemy aircraft either overhead or going?
Yes,
overhead?
There was a lot of fighting in the air. Just the Battle of Britain days, and there's quite a few coming down here and there. But I never got in touch with any of them. Nobody landed in the backyard, sort of still. So. We had to stay where we were.
You weren't bombed at all, were you?
No.
Are there any other memories of Devon and the area that you were in at that time? Are there any other memories of being in Devon?
Not really. It was just a quiet time. Get on with the vehicle repairs.
Did you see much of the local population?
No. No, Brigade HQ was never near a village. They were always out in the sticks away off the road.
And was this a big house that had been requisitioned for the headquarters? And where were you were you accommodated there?
In the hayloft above the stable.
You didn't have a nice room in the house?
No, not quite.
Did you move from there after a while?
Yes, further down the coast. We were never on the coast, but just inland a little bit. Right down to the last place I was at was Tiverton. And one or two calls on the way for a short while. So at Tiverton, I was at Brigade HQ, which was about, I don't know what they call the place now, the big house, when I got promoted to sergeant and got sent to the 9th Durhams. They were stationed in Tiverton.
So you jumped from private to sergeant, did you?
Yeah. With 3 months back pay.
And it was there that, as you say, you joined 9th DLI, the battalion.
The 9th DLI.